So on the front of the bulletin, I just did a little thing that if you wanted to cut out or just tuck into your wallet or whatever, could be something just to kind of practice with, just to see how it feels, if you can feel the shift or not. And there could be a lot more descriptors under each heading, but I find that when I'm challenged by something, there's like two parts of me. And it's funny that she chose that as the opening song, because it's like there's a part of me who feels like I should do this, you know, and there's another part of me who feels like I should do this. There only seems to be two for some reason. I don't know. Thank goodness. So there's one part of me that feels like, oh, you know, that would, if I really go for it, I could really be successful. I could really do this. I could, you know, it goes through this whole thing. And the other one says, but I don't really want to do that. I would feel better if I did this thing over here. And so you're wondering, like, what are these two parts that are within me? And I have found that there's an authentic, essential self that's me, who I am without anybody else's opinion about what it should be. And then there's more of a social self, your ego, that is doing it to kind of fit in with everybody else and to, you know, and to look successful and be perfect and all those different things. And I found that they use different words to describe what it is. Like, the essential self seems to work off of feelings. And it says, I would love, I love, I like, this would, it would be so great if I, my greatest dream is. It's really working off of how it would feel when it's doing something. And the social self is working off of, I should do this, I really should. You know, it'd make everybody else happy if I did this, so I should go and do this thing. One is not right and one is wrong. We actually need those elements to ourselves. So if I want to apply for a bank job, that's not the time to go, I think I'll go get a bunch of tattoos and piercings and go for the interview, okay? I think it would be better if I look like the image that they want. If I would love to work in that bank, then it makes sense for me to conform with what it is they would like their people to look like. That makes sense, right? Okay. We all have clothes on today. We're all in agreement that that was a good choice. Right? I know they say when you're talking to imagine everybody without clothes. I don't go there. That is not a good thing to do. So the essential self, if we looked at it this way, like why is there this essential self, this part of us that would love to do something? And then there's a social self. Well, we're kind of like going through a training process when we're little of how to be socially acceptable in the world, to say please and thank you and stuff. And those are all good things. Those are, there's nothing wrong with that. And to dress appropriately. But every once in a while, we need to break out of that and be who we really are. Like somebody who's wearing clothes that they hate said, boy, I wish I was brave enough to wear that. I would love to wear that. Then wear that. And you got to say, well, why aren't you wearing that? I'd love to get all my hair shaved off. That is not me, by the way. Do it. It will grow back. Or it won't. But the world will continue on, and it will be a new look. Okay. So what I've learned is that in my own life is to think about God differently, okay? Not as a personality who's just one more individual my social self has to worry about pleasing, but something that's within me that is expressing through me. And those desires and the things that I would love and the things that I feel are actually that presence within me. Not something outside. Not something I have to worry about at the end of my life. Not something that I think is testing me, but something within me. So those urges and those feelings are my connection, my real connection. God within, spirit within, whatever you want to call it, love within. And that is pure creative energy, pure energy. And as manifested individuals, we get to use that energy in any way we want. It's malleable. It will mold into whatever we want it to be. So if we imagine just awful things for ourselves, it will mold into that. If we imagine our good life unfolding, it will mold into that. So it really depends on which one are we working off of. If we're working out of fear, it will continue down that path. So it's pure creative energy, and it's pure love. Not love with strings attached. Not love where if you give me this, I'll give you that. We're in agreement with this, and oh, I stopped loving you. I don't love you anymore. It's not that kind of love. It's just an energy of pure love that is something that we have a hard time understanding. It's not something earned. So a lot of us go through life not loving ourselves, thinking we don't deserve love, where this love is already there all the time. It's never removed. There's no test. Pure joy. So when we do what we love, we're adding more joy into our life. We're actually, you could say, we're adding more God in our life when we do what we love. And when we think of it that way, there's so many other things. Because we said we come here to question all of this. I think when you see the universe and all the complication and everything that's going on that's all orchestrated so beautifully, there's an intelligence behind that. There's an energy behind that. And so when we try to go seeking that energy, one of the things we forget is that we're part of what we're seeking. It's really hard to find yourself because you're standing so close to what it is you're looking for. So we're one with that presence. It's within everybody, everywhere. It's universal. There are no exceptions. It's not in a book. It's within us. And it expresses uniquely through us with certain desires to do certain things in the world. And what's good for one isn't necessarily good for the other one. Therefore, we shouldn't be telling everybody else that they should be doing what we're doing, or we shouldn't try to do what everybody else is doing. We have to find a moment where we can stop and ask ourselves, is this right for me? Last week, the talk was on spiritual integrity, where the inner self matches the outer self. And somebody said, I would love to work someplace where the people would talk about what I believe, you know, where the inner and the outer was matching. But that's going to be really hard to do. To everywhere you want to go, the people have to be in agreement with what we think and feel and believe. But I think what she really meant was, I wish they'd stop talking so much about what they believe. Which is very hard for us to be around sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, please don't tell me about hell one more time. I can't, you know, I can't go there with you. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, does the work energize you? Are you respected in your job? Do you love yourself enough to be in a position where you don't have an abusive boss, where you enjoy going into work and all that, okay? So you can be in a lot of different modes and you can do a lot of different things in life, but the key is, how does it make you feel when you're in it? Do you love it or do you hate it? One of my favorite commercials right now, and I had to look it up today because I really didn't know what the commercial was about. It's the message of the commercial, and you probably have seen this, where the young man is in the kitchen of his father's kitchen. His father's fixing a sandwich, and his father goes, so let me get this right. You sold all of your possessions, you quit your job, you got a new car, and you're driving across the country. And he says, yep, that's right. And the father goes, gosh, I wish I would have done that. And then the next shot is the guy naturally they got to show the new car, in the new car, driving, and he's driving cross country. He did what he said he was going to do. And the camera moves around just a little bit so you can see the father finishing off his big Slurpee. And we don't realize that we're making choices, and even when we don't know we're making a choice. Like right now, all of us have, without realizing, have made a choice to live in this country, to stay in this country, to be in this space, in this moment. Okay? But we didn't realize that we actually made a choice to live in this country. We thought, oh, we were born here and we live in this country. That's it. But the truth of the matter is, you could decide to just go and live somewhere else. But you've chosen not to. But you didn't know you chose. Okay? So that's good to know, because then it means, oh my gosh, there are tons and tons of choices and possibilities for me. And I want to live here because I want to live here. But it's not a choice made for me. I actually am making the choice. Every day we're making small choices without realizing we're making them. Okay? The essential self is authentic, adventurous, spontaneous, loving, trusting, attraction-based. It goes towards what it's attracted to. Unique, creative sense of purpose. We could add a lot more things onto it. But a sense of purpose to say, okay, I am the presence expressing here uniquely. I'm not all of it. I am a unique expression of it. And I have a purpose here. What I do, me being who I am, fills in a spot that nobody else can fill in. Me being who I am and being in alignment with that presence, which is pure love, means I'm bringing more love into the world. Me doing what I love brings more joy into the world. And we actually are energy. We are that creative energy. And we can either be vibrating very high or very low. That sounds really weird, I know that. But we describe it as that. We say, I'm feeling really down, I'm feeling really low. Or, man, I feel like I could just fly. So the energy's there, and it comes through our feelings. It is absolutely there. So when we're feeling low, it doesn't mean it's a punishment. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was feeling this way. And there's nothing wrong with the feeling. I need to go into the feeling and say, what is this about? What's the story behind here? Not something bad is going on, but what is this really about? And sometimes what it's about is we've let our social self move into the driver's seat of our life. And it's actually driving our life. You know how you have those dreams about you're like in a car? Maybe you haven't had this dream. I don't know. This is a car theme today. You're in a car and you realize that the brakes or the wheel doesn't turn or something, or somebody else is driving and you have no control over it. That's because the car actually represents your life and who is in the driver's seat. So we want to make sure that our authentic self is in the driver's seat and that our social self gets us where we want to go when we want to go there dressed appropriately. Conforming, driving on the same side of the road as everybody else. It works best that way, okay? But we don't want it deciding the big issues of our life. We don't want to conform and then never play our part in this life. And it's, when we were growing up, it was really unusual. There were so many jokes at the expense of other people. They started all the time with, there was this one and that one that walked in. You remember that? And people would just listen to it, and they would laugh. And sometimes it was nervous laughter because they weren't in agreement with it. But they were trying to conform with the group they were with. That's a great example of the social self and the authentic self not being on the same page. In schools, we have people that are bullying other people. Small people bullying other people. Teenagers bullying other people. And if you want to be a part of that crowd, then you have to go along with it. Or not. You go and tell somebody about it. You don't want to be a part of that group. Or if you're really brave, you ask the other person, what's that about? Because it's going to be about something. It's going to be about that person is too unique and authentic and I can't deal with it, so I'm going to have to put them down. That bothers me to see somebody be like that. They're too who they are. And I've got to try to get everybody to pressure them to not be that. So there's choices all the time. And this has really helped me. When I remember I'm at a crossroad and I'm trying to decide, should I do this or should I do that? I can hear the two stories and I can hear why. It's like, oh my gosh, this is such a great opportunity. This could really take off. You could really be big. You could do this. You could do that. And then another part says, what's that about? Why would I want to put that kind of time and energy into doing this? Do I want to do that? Actually, I want to have a really great life that's peaceful and fun, and doing that is not going to take me where I want to go. So a big part of this whole thing is to say, where do I want to go? Where do I really want to go if I don't factor anybody else into this? Where do I want to go? It doesn't mean you have to get rid of everybody in your life, but you have to say, as I move forward, when I'm making choices, is that going to get me where I want to go? I want a rich, full, happy, harmonious life. I want my life to be an adventure. Is tying myself down to a huge mortgage going to do that for me? No, so I'm not going to do that. Buying a new car every year, is that going to get me there? Probably not. If I'm saying, well, I want to impress everybody, but just think what, oh my gosh, just think what my family would think if they knew I had this great house and everything, what everybody would think. I can just go to a page and go, well, social self, that's really great. That is really a great thing, but you're going to have to get in the back seat because I'm going to start driving again. So it's really nice to say, I have two stories here, and I can choose the one that is really enduring and powerful and eternal, and it's just a nice, easy tool. I am going to use my social self to say, it's this time, my meeting is this, I'm going to get on the airplane when I want to go, and I'm going to go on my adventure. I'm going to hang out with these people because they energize me, and I'm going to be kind to the people who don't energize me and let them live their life and find those that energize them. I'm going to mutually respect and love everybody I encounter. They don't have to believe what I believe. I respect them for what they believe. I'm going to love myself enough to surround myself with loving, supportive people. I'm going to love myself enough to take care of my body. I'm going to love myself enough to let my life be mine, to give myself permission to be fully present in who I am. I'm going to give myself permission to mess up, to make mistakes. The social self won't take a risk because what will they look like in front of everybody else? Right? The authentic self says, I'll be fine. Lots of people mess up. That's how we move forward. So, also it can be very hardworking. It can never relax. Have you ever noticed like you're laying around doing nothing, just enjoying the sky and nature, and says, you really ought to be doing something. What are you doing? Get up and do something. There's lawn to be cut. You got to go do something, okay? Isn't there something you need to paint? Right. Isn't there something to be cleaned? You know, isn't there something? It's like, no, because actually this is energizing me. So you can feel the voice. So I think that's what's really interesting. Can you feel those different parts of yourself? Right. And then if you just recognize, there's going to be times when the social self is going to do its job beautifully. But we never want it in the driver's seat. We want it to take it where we, the authentic individual expression of the presence, wants to go. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And thank you very much.